Joining us on the line is Dr. Nasiba Katrada, who's part of the COVID home management team. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm good, thanks. And yes, great song you played there earlier.
It was, hey? How trendy am I this morning?
You were very trendy.
I know, people think I'm now just in my mid-20s. But I don't think so.
I was going to say the same thing.
Indeed, you were not. You were absolutely not. But all right, I'm going to let that go. Okay, so lots and lots. It's so interesting because we spoke to SAPRA earlier in the week and they made the comment that they're not seeing any effectiveness or decent results around ivermectin. I think the Department of Health put out a statement saying the same thing. But yet, if I post anything on social media about COVID, there's this a very strong group of people that come back at me always saying to me that, or alleging that it goes a lot deeper. There's a big pharma story going on beneath the surface. Let's put all of that aside. You are somebody who advocates the use of ivermectin. Can you explain to me what you are seeing?
Well, firstly, the reason why I think that SAPRA is putting out that well on face value is because they're looking in the wrong place, firstly. If you look at the, like you said, from the very beginning of the ivermectin story, it has been used worldwide, not just here in South Africa, with great success. And recently, Dr. Tess Lowry's meta-analysis was released. And a meta-analysis is not just one study. It is all the studies that have been done, and you analyze them all together under one umbrella. So if there's like 100 participants in this study and 40 in that one and 400 in the other one, you gather them all together, and then you do a meta-analysis, and then you plot it on a graph, and there are specific parameters that you look for, which will tell you whether it's effective or not. And her meta-analysis shows that there's 62% efficacious, which means that 6 out of 10 lives can be saved by the medicine. And that is at worst case scenario. Even if you take that number and you drop it by half and you save 3, it's like 30%, that 3 out of 10 lives can be saved. On which planet will you not even try that? Why would you not try that? Even if you do it 3 out of 10 people.
Right. Although that's not very scientific, is it, to say that, take the data and then just divide it because we might not believe it. It means there's a problem with it, right?
Sorry, what do you mean?
What you're saying is that it's showing efficacy in 60%, and even if we halve it, it's still a big number. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be allocating or halving anything if the data is showing efficacy.
So 100%, yeah. If the data shows that, that's what it means. And this is not just looking at one study. In fact, just yesterday, I spoke to one of the, you were asking about my experience with ivermectin. So from the time it was banned, which was in December, that the black market was flooded.
Of course.
And like you rightly said, you put a comment on social media, even if you just ask something, there are tons of people who've used it. And from personal experience, and they'll tell you that it works. And when I wrote a letter to the president, I said, Mr. President, give hope back to the people and give trust back to the doctors, because let the doctors do what they think is best for their patients. But in this pandemic, as it's going on, we find that the mental effects of the pandemic are a lot.
Massive.
And they weigh more. And anxiety
Massive.
You know, a depression is huge. And if you look at what happened, if we went from Chinese virus, worldwide virus, pandemic, lockdown, wear a mask, sanitize, social distancing, straight to vaccine. Where's that big hole about treatment? You're telling us people are dying, and what do? When somebody's dying, or people are dying from a disease, we first have to find treatment. And if you're looking at the stats are that less than 2% mortality from COVID worldwide, which means that 98% of people survive. If you want to improve the statistics on that, which means that you don't want the 2% of people to die, you should be taking 98% of your effort and putting it into finding treatment for those 2% that are dying.
Absolutely.
You should not be taking 98% of your effort and putting it into the 98% that are going to survive for prophylaxis. And that just really doesn't make sense.
So, but then what follows is a question, and that perplexes me, is why aren't the physicians in the hospitals across the country using it? It's not as though they have anything to gain at all. They are being hammered. They can't cope anymore. They will do they're dealing with dying people and mourning families. They would do anything to assist families or to assist people and save them. If ivermectin was this drug that was working or they could rely on, surely they would be using it.
Well, there's two issues with that. So firstly, when you look at the way messages came down from government, we were given directives about having to wear masks, we were given directives about about isolating, etc. And then we were given information about vaccinations and where to go, how to register, etc. There was no directive that was coming from our government saying that we are organizing a webinar for all the doctors. This is the treatment plan is. These are the protocols that we will ask you to follow. We're looking at worldwide trends and how people are surviving. Those 98% that are surviving, this is what the doctors are doing worldwide. We have to now form groups amongst ourselves, and then doctors sit and collaborate and then discuss amongst each other. So in the groups that we have, I mean, I can tell you from my personal experience, I started a home management team when our beds were full here in KZN, and we discussed amongst ourselves. But I'm also on other doctors' groups now, and there's one group that is totally anti-ivermectin. And if you look at the sentiment on the group, and I just wish that some of them would be on the other group and see the successes that people are getting, because it is the environment that you're in and the messages that you're getting from your circle. And it's because you are so crowded and you are focused on vaccines and you won't even look at anything else. And right now, people are dying. And like you said, in Gauteng, it's such a dire need. I got a message this morning to say that people are driving down from Gauteng to KZN to get beds now because there are no beds in Gauteng. And the question about the hospitals using it, there's a lot of red tape again, because it has to come from one doctor in a hospital or at least the hospital manager. And it's so sad, really, that it's that one person's decision whether a patient in that hospital is going to get ivermectin or not. So I got a call from a desperate voicemail from somebody who got my number from, everybody has it now. So I got a message on social media, and this woman was desperate, and she said that a family member of theirs in Gauteng had died, and the brother of that family member is now in hospital, and they really want to use ivermectin because they didn't use it on the first person. They want to use it on this person who is now admitted, and the doctor who is managing that person in this private hospital in Johannesburg refuses to give it. And then there's all the rules about no visitors allowed, so they can't bring anything to the hospital. You're not allowed to, the doctor won't give it, so he's not allowed to take it, although it is his right to take the medication. It's because nobody in that hospital is advocating. And then you go down to George Macquarie Hospital, where Professor Nati Madlala is, and they now got ivermectin for the last 3 weeks because they did a Section 21 application. He wants to use it in his hospital, and he sent us messages in our group yesterday showing us already for the first time in weeks that the numbers, their numbers are dropping, and they're going to be discharging so many patients because they've been using ivermectin in their hospital for the last 3 weeks. So if people start collaborating and saying,
well, there's definitely an absolute need for collaboration. There's absolutely no doubt. I just see that the South African National Department of Health Rapid Review Report from June the 18th is still also saying, though, that it does not show effectiveness. Ivermectin does not, and they suggest not to use it as an option. Why then do you think that the South African National Department of Health is standing by their line that they had adopted?
So that document that came out about 3 weeks ago, AfriForum and Argo, which is I Can Make a Difference, we wrote a letter to the Department of Health, to NEMLC, and to SAHPRA, asking them to please show us when last they reviewed the data on ivermectin. Because when we won our court case, the judge ruled that they should be reviewing the data, and SAHPRA gave an undertaking that as new data is coming out from worldwide, they will continuously review it, and they will give feedback. And there was no feedback for like 6 months. So when we wrote the letter 3 weeks ago, a week later, we got a reply from SAHPRA saying that they referring the matter to their legal team. NEMLC referred us to a website. When we look at the website, the last review was done on the 21st 5th of January, and DOA didn't even bother to reply. And then suddenly, after we asked the person to say, hey guys, you're not even looking at the new data that's out, there's this meta-analysis that's out, there's a study that came out of Israel, there's data showing what's going on in Peru, there's data showing on what's going on in India, surely you should be looking at what's going on. And then this review, rapid reviews come out by SAHPRA. And if you look at that, that unfortunately just makes matters worse, because when they banned the drug, then the black market is flooded. Now again, now that we've got a big following of ivermectin in quite a few parts of South Africa, I've got tons of messages yesterday and doctors calling me saying, am I going to get arrested? Is it illegal for me to use it? Because people don't understand the law.
Right, absolutely.
And the message for them all to understand is, just because they did this rapid review does not mean that you cannot use it. Because under the Section 21 process, you still can use ivermectin.
Absolutely.
Because what they're saying now is that they're not advocating its use, which means they're not going to register the drug. That doesn't change the fact that it's still legal to be used and a doctor can still use it if they want to. So my advice to doctors out there and to patients, people out there, is you get the data yourself. Ask your doctor.
And make your own decisions. Absolutely
your own
right.
Decision.
Absolutely
and,
right.
And we can spread the word, you know, and we can, if we turn one doctor in one public hospital around the country, that is saving thousands of lives, because once one doctor asks for it, then the pharmacy has to apply for the Section 21, and then all the doctors in that hospital can use it.